places. If one came from habits or ways of speaking or thinking that weren't of the requisite pattern, then the response was abrupt and hostile. Even a poet as Kenneth Rexroth, admitting his complex relation to Kerouac from their times together in San Francisco, wrote of Mexico City Blues, 1959, that it constituted a naive effrontery to have published it as poetry, and that it was more pitiful than ridiculous. Donald M. Allen's breakthrough anthology, The New American Poetry, 1960, soon made clear the resources and authority of what Kerouac and others of his situation were doing. But for a time, it seemed that even the viable elders would prove too fixed in their aspirations or disappointments to recognize its authority. What was the common dream? To be enough of whatever was wanted, to be real, to be included. That meant thinking and talking and moving in one's own legitimacy, one's own given world, with its persons, habits, humor, and place. It was Ginsberg who early on valued particularly Kerouac's crucial insight, that one might write in the same words and manner that one would use in talking to a friend. There didn't have to be a rhetorical heightening or a remove from the common, the intimate, and the personal. Kerouac's friends were then specifically the poets, Allen Ginsberg, Gregory Corso, Philip Lamantia, Gary Snyder, Philip Whalen, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Michael McClure, Bob Kaufman, Diane DePrima, Lou Welch, Amiri Baraka, and so on through a list now familiar indeed. In contrast, only the novelists John Cleland Holmes and William Burroughs, a source and company for all that beat defined, were in any sense so alert and securing in their relations to him. His sister Caroline, Nin, and his mother were otherwise safe havens, and he left and returned to their company again and again. Two of the sequences here, Richmond Hill Blues, 1953, and Orlando Blues, 1958, were written while living in his mother's house. The fact of all these relations sounds persistently throughout his writing, and in the poems it is especially emphatic. 11 Verses of Garver, in the section Orizaba 210 Blues, is literally that, the stories of his friend Bill Garver, described by Kerouac's perceptive biographer Tom Clark, Jack Kerouac, 1984, as a garrulous aging junkie who occupied the ground floor apartment at Orizaba 210, Mexico City, while Kerouac lived in the mud block, his words, on the roof. Clark notes it is in this circumstance that Kerouac works as well on Mexico City Blues, and begins the novel of his chaste, desperate courtship of Bill Garver's connection for morphine, Tristessa, 1960. All such detail has been usefully spelled out in the various accounts of Kerouac's life. His own sense of what he was doing, either with prose or poems, is equally to the point. In his Statement on Poetics for the New American Poetry, he writes, "Add alluvials to the end of your line when all is exhausted, but something has to be said for some specified irrational reason, since reason can never win out because poetry is not a science. The rhythm of how you rush your statement determines the rhythm of the poem, whether it is a poem in verse-separated lines or an endless one-line poem called prose." Of course, the parallel is clearly jazz. Thus, Edward Foster, in his useful work Understanding the Beats, 1992, emphasizes Kerouac's own proposal of the relation as follows. In a note at the beginning of Mexico City Blues, Kerouac says that he wants to be considered as a jazz poet blowing a long blues in an afternoon jazz session on Sunday. And the individual poems depend, like jazz pieces, on spontaneity and inspiration. Each of the 242 choruses is limited by the size of the notebook pages on which he wrote. If an idea or riff was not exhausted in that space, he would pick it up in the next poem. Most of the choruses are playful and light, and seemingly anything that fits the general drift of the rhythm, music, and tone can be added, no matter how incongruous it may seem. The sound of a bus outside the building, zaroom, an idea for Buddhist lipstick, Nirvana No, nonsense language, I'm an agloon. In any case, the poem expresses the poet's sensibility at the moment of writing, and the final poem of Mexico City Blues